Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is true that I am constantly making fun of the Lutheran Church because it's my life and I figure that's a good thing to make fun of. But it's true. You go into most Lutheran churches, certainly, you know, most kind of traditional Lutheran churches, and you will find the baptismal font in the back with just a little bit of water lying very still. As if we're not really sure about baptism. One of my favorite theologians has said that the issue with the Lutheran Church is that we need to make sure that if the water is going to be still, that it is also still deep. And that's what I think is at the core of our baptismal theology and the importance of the baptism of Jesus. Now, you all know that the baptismal rite precedes Christianity. It's an ancient rite of cleansing and of rebirth, a reminder always of our need to be with God. And so there Jesus is. Poor John has been preaching the good news in whatever way he knew it, and all of a sudden he realizes that the real Messiah is here and standing before him. And in our gospel lesson for today, John is having none of it. What do you mean you want me to baptize you? You should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, for now, let it be so. And John, with trembling hand, baptizes Jesus in the Jordan. Not with a sprinkle, not with just a little bit of water. He dunks him under the smelly old Jordan three times probably. And when Jesus comes up out of the water, the heavens open up. And he hears the voice of God. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. The voice of God. And from that moment, 30-year-old Jesus, or 33-year-old Jesus, depending on which calendar you use, begins his ministry in earnest, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm guessing most of you, not all of you, but for those of you who were baptized, my guess is that you don't remember it that way for you. You don't remember the heavens opening up, do you? And God coming down and saying, you are my child, much less in whom I am well pleased. Really, for most of us, baptism happens for lots of reasons. Not many of them are particularly good ones. I remember working with a couple a number of years ago who came to me and asked me, at what age should my child be baptized? And I said, I don't know. What age should your child be baptized? What's the question behind the question? And so they told me that their child, who had, you know, 3 months had gone by and another 3 months had gone by, and they were getting a tremendous amount of pressure from grandparents to get this baby done. Get him baptized. And I said, well, why? Well, the grandparents were afraid, of course, that this child might die before baptism. And they wanted to make sure that this child was in God's grace. Now, it's a legitimate, I suppose, generational issue, but I kept wondering and I asked the couple, well, don't you think this child is in God's grace now? Hasn't God already been poured out? They got the child baptized anyway. But what if we took it really seriously? One of the things I love about Luther is that he really believed in baptism. And he said, in one of my favorite pieces that he wrote, he says, you know, every day, this is a paraphrase, trust me, We should swing our feet off of our beds and lay them on the ground and make the sign of the cross, remembering that we have been baptized every day, that we belong to Christ through this water and this word. You see, that's what's really at the core, I think, of this baptismal stuff. That it isn't to just Jesus that God speaks in that lesson in Matthew, but to every one of us. In the baptismal waters, God speaks the word, "You are my child, in whom I am well pleased." Now that's the gospel. That's good news. It's news worth even repeating and remembering every day of our lives as we make the sign of the cross. That with God's voice, that same voice that's described in the Psalms as making Lebanon skip like a calf and Mount Hermon like a young ox, that shakes the wilderness of Kadesh, that breaks the cedars, of Lebanon, also says to each of us, "You are my child." And so Paul will speak of our adoption, of having been invited into God's family, but for a reason. You notice that when we baptize a child, we gather at the back of the church and we say the words and we sprinkle water on. Me, I'm always glad if the child doesn't cry too much or that I don't drop them. But we don't keep them here. The whole point of baptism is not that we initiate you into the church and keep you in your pew. In the same way that when Jesus was baptized, he didn't stay in the river. God sent Jesus out. So part of our baptismal promise is that God says, "I love you for who you are. Be transformed," and then sends us out. You see, your baptism isn't just effective within these four walls. It's not, you know, olly olly, home come free. But rather, your baptism is the baptism for the whole world. And it is to the whole world that God sends us out in our baptism. Was that Jesus? This is the Lord calling. I think you're on the wrong track. You ever worry about getting a call like that, Fritz? You never know. But I think it's at the core. And you see, sometimes we underestimate the power of the baptism, of our baptism, of baptism for the sake of the world. That we are made whole in the waters of baptism so that we may be sent out into the world to make it whole, to proclaim the good news. Indeed, we hear in it that you are God's child, in whom I am well pleased. And that is exactly the message the rest of the world longs to hear. That as much as God chooses us, God chooses all of creation, and with a mighty voice proclaims the world to belong to God. So more than a ritual, more than a moment, baptism, the baptism of Jesus and our own baptism, becomes a way of life, of walking wet in the world for the sake of Jesus. Amen.